If you would, who was it that mentioned coercive power? Where are they when I need them? Okay. Knock off all this Christian fellowship and get back to work. Come on. Okay, we have two scribes. Emily will take down how can people like us use gift like ours to serve interests like these. Anna will jot down for future reference what can our diocesan community and our diocesan structures do to help. So we're going to try and track these separately so that we have something that would be usable in the thinking of this community and this diocese in a variety of ways. So that's what we're doing. We have Francis and Nate with the microphones. So what did you come up with? Yes, sir. Francis, we have a... Would you start over again, please?
Thank you.
Start over.
Do away with the regional system and shrink the whatever entities follow it into more compatible community groups.
Compatible community groups. All right. Thank you. Yeah, that would be. Get some. Yes, ma'am. This lady has not spoken here. So, Francis, would you? We'll get back.
One of the things that we talked about is that we tend to try and invent all of our own gifts in our own space, and that does not seem to be a wise use of our gifts from God or our resources. And the sharing of resources, the sharing of information, is a powerful tool to save us from having to reinvent stuff that others in the diocese have done well before us, mm-hmm. whether that goes to curriculum or liturgy or even shared mission projects, where perhaps for some of us who serve smaller churches, we may not have the oomph in and of ourselves to do this, but in partnership or having learned from another church that has done it, we can be successful. This requires a lot of information sharing, which is something that the diocese has been helpful with, but can be even more helpful with.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yes, sir. Right here.
Yes, I want to return to something that was said earlier. Someone who articulated the enormous political polarization in culture right now and the pain that is causing and the inability to move forward. It seems to me that the church in its various parts represents the full spectrum of that diversity. And one of the things I think the church could help us do is to engage, to create a conversation around that at the diocesan level and actually come up with a way of modeling an alternative paradigm for how we deal with the innateness of our human diversity around these very powerful issues.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. It's a good point. And I'd have to say that for us as a whole church, that one of for those of you who may have been at the General Convention in Anaheim in 2009, it was a very amenable, very pleasant kind of convention, but one of the reasons it was so pleasant is that we flunked diversity, and so we have it's a thing that would be good. It's a growing edge for us, the whole church. I'm going to move back and forth. Yes. All right. Thank you very much, Francis. So if you would tell Anna, this is the diocesan structure, what do you want the diocese to do? This is what we might do here, and there we are. Yes, ma'am, back in the corner there, and then we'll come over this way. And if anybody in the middle ever has an idea, we'll certainly speak to you too. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm addressing the question, what can our diocese and community and structure do to help this to happen? I would like to suggest that we rethink what God's people look like and how they gather. And what I am trying to say is to redefine our priorities. One of our priorities is to grow more churches that look just like us. Well, the church shouldn't look just like us. It should be diverse in many ways, and it's not bound by structure. And rethink this whole notion of community. It's not necessarily in a building. It's more in prisons. We've got large communities in prisons, in community centers, which will never go into particularly a church maybe on Sunday. And the other thing we have to ask ourselves is, why does the church, look at the majority in this room, look this particular way? And we need to define what's happened in our history that has made the church look this way. If you're not going to be in my club and worship the way I want you to worship, you're not going to be in the club. And we need to think about that and what role we've played on it if we're going to change that path.
Very well. Good point. Good point. I think that, you know, the lowest form of, you know, of evangelism is cloning. You know, just somebody just like me. So, come, yes. Nate's got a microphone for James here. Nate?
Come on. One of my colleagues at this table made an excellent point for this question over here about us as the leaders of the congregation. Encouraging a connection between the Sunday experience and the Monday through Friday experience and job in the workplace, and encouraging our congregants to be the representative of Christ in their daily lives, but then to hear their stories back in the church environment to connect that void between the divine on Sunday and the mundane on Monday.
Very good. Good point. Thank you. Thank you very much. Over here. And then, sir, we'll get to you. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Where our churches and the diocese seem to work best is when we're less trying to control things and think we have all the answers, and when we walk more in humility. And so the places where the diocese works best is where we open up sacred spaces like camp, like joint mission trips, where God can work in those spaces in ways we might not have even imagined. Mm-hmm. And it works best on a church level as well and in our lives. An example that might not work, let's say annual council, where there are moments when it feels sacred, but there are many moments when it's a large gathering and it feels like God isn't present at all. It's just kind of our agenda and our work. And so the more that we can open up these sacred spaces and allow God to work through our gifts and our community and us to carry out God's mission, I think the stronger we're all going to be.
Good point. Thank you, sir, very much. I'm going to come back over to the lady here in the corner.
At our table, we talked about alternatives. Alternatives could be to offer a day that's almost as equal, that is equal in worship as mm-hmm. Sunday. Other ideas were to go where the people are. And there are some churches that have examples such as doing a tailgating, go to a tailgate where the sports are mm-hmm. and have worship available for people there. Do what's called perhaps offer ESL with a meal at mm-hmm. the church. If one were to go out, one could also do what's called chapel on the green, which is another example of mm-hmm. ministry to go where the people are.
Good point. Thank you. Thank you. That one of the things I truly do not know the thinking in the Diocese of Virginia. So I'm talking about life in our church. But when a diocese thinks of itself as a collection of congregations, you get one answer as to what a diocese is. When a diocese thinks about itself as a collection of institutions, then you begin to embrace schools and some of the places, other places where people are. When the diocese begins to think of itself as a collection of people, you get an entirely different answer as to what the diocese might do or be. So one of the things I think that precedes a lot of the thing is when we say the diocese, what are we talking about? Are we talking about a collection of congregations? That's fine, but that's going to produce one set of responses, reasonably so. If it is a collection of institutions, then that base broadens. for example, you know, having a clergy conference when school chaplains can come is a difficult, very difficult administrative thing to do, because your opportunities are different, but you're going to get a different answer. And if it's a collection of people, you get another one. So you know, putting those different hats on, they're all legitimate, but there's not just one way to think about that. So it's a good point. Thank you. Yes, ma'am, back here.
Along those same lines, how can people like us, to me, I take as people who are resurrection people, live lives that show the joy that we have in our faith and in our church communities? And I know that's not really a practical suggestion, but it seems to me that there's a dearth of joy in our communities and in our culture, and if we can share the great goodness and the joyousness of our Christian life with our communities, we would do a great service. At the diocesan level, I think celebrations like the one that will be happening at Goodwin House, celebrating the couples who have celebrated 50 years of marriage, or just other celebrations of the joy of being human and blessed by God.
Good point. Good point. And don't be afraid of the power of a question. You know, that it's not necessary to have a concrete proposal. That in a major endeavor in life, a good question will serve you better than a good answer. You know, that wondering, how can I show joy of the resurrection, is an empowering question. If you were to answer it, you know, and say, well, I'm going to wear flowers on my hair or something like that, then that's okay. That's probably a very nice answer, but it's very limiting. The question is freeing. So don't be afraid of questions. Let me come up here to Ben. And I want to get to people who haven't spoken. So Gene, we'll go back. We go ahead, Ben, and then we'll go to Gene.
Fredericksburg is a wonderful town. Who's from Fredericksburg? Good. Yeah, Fredericksburg is a great town, but it's not the center of anything. Except the Diocese of Virginia.
Yeah.
The day that we really get into our understanding of our ministry and are able to do genuine church growth as well will probably happen when Central Virginia is a single diocese and Northern Virginia is one as well. And that's our structural problem. We create an artificial structure which does not relate to the community as a whole.
Okay. Thank you very much. Gene, from Nate's, there's microphone behind you, Gene.
I wonder what it would be like for the diocese to establish some kind of a structure where churches could share best practices. So that if you did something with your youth group, for example, you'd be able to tap into a kind of a knowledge bank of what others have done in the way of best practices. And that might be a way for us to, for us as a diocese, to share our gifts with each other, but for the diocesan staff to be the collector of that, so that it's not like you're bragging, and sometimes you don't have any way to get it out what
right.
you're doing that is
uh-huh.
really worked very well and mm-hmm. could be a wonderful gift to others. So just a thought.
That's a good point. And it is hard to make that connection. One resource, you know, in the whole church, and I'm not up here to give commercials, but the Alban Institute is basically a collection of best practices on a much wider basis than this diocese, which doesn't speak to how this diocese might, but that's basically what the Alban Institute does with its magazines and publications, its best practices around. So it's a good point. The diocesan level, also a good point and something to be done. Since you've had the floor, I don't want to leave you out, but I'm going to get you and keep you in line, okay. All right, then to this gentleman right back here, and then.
There may be great value in holding up a vision. This speaks to the structural question.
Yes,
in holding up a vision for 3 years or so that could engage all of our churches, our preparatory schools, of which we have so many, our youth groups, our teen discussion groups, especially our middle schoolers. For instance, our moral universe. We live in a moral universe because it was created by a good God. Mm-hmm. And lots of people don't see the signs of that shining in society, especially as diverse a society as ours, although they shine greater here perhaps than elsewhere. Mm-hmm. our moral universe would be a kind of tone that could unite everything from sermons to discussion groups for 3 years or so, and help us identify in our midst what it is that is so good about being alive in the world now.
Good point. Thank you, sir. Thank you. And Linda, back in the back. Francis, behind you.
I wanted to just piggyback on something Steve just said about sacred space and that Drew mentioned last night. We don't have a centralized, like a Washington National Cathedral place where we could gather to talk to one another, to comfort one another. It is a little difficult to come on out to the cathedral shrine, as beautiful as it is. And I'm just wondering about that for the life of the diocese. I know we're far flung and we're scattered. I know Fredericksburg certainly is not the center of the universe. Maybe Richmond is, I don't know. I don't know where this place would be. But I was just putting together the two comments, you know, from Drew and from Steve mm-hmm. about having a sacred space lifted up for all of us in our diocesan life.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, and certainly not to solve it, but I think that the question might be stated in the plural rather than the singular, not a sacred place, but sacred places, you know, which might, you know, have the same effect, but a little broader application, perhaps. Yes, sir.
I'm a little concerned that some of this conversation today is circling the wagons and missing the ecumenical dimension. I found myself at one point thinking of the movie Miracle on 34th Street, mm-hmm. where Chris Kringle says, Macy's doesn't have it, but Gimbel's does.
Uh-huh, right.
And the head of Macy's is aghast at that, but all of a sudden finds that Macy's is taking off mm-hmm. because of that.
Right.
We should be doing all of this in conjunction with all our other Christian presence in our communities and in the territory that the diocese has, and particularly with those that we have full communion relationships with.
I think you're, it's a good point that, you know, that one of the things when we, as I said, that, you know, plural pronouns don't have natural limits. And so, you know, when you raise the ecumenical question, it thrusts you up against the interfaith question that Bishop Drew talked about last night. So the question of how wide that becomes is really a function of being effective. I mean, you can be so broad that you couldn't get anything done, but that's a really good point. And we are, you know, of our nature focused on the Episcopal Church in Virginia, but, you know, your point is very, very well taken. It's a good question to ask. Okay, and this man, then we'll come there.
I am a topic of Holy Cross Korean Episcopal Church. I am working since 1992, serving the same Korean congregations. And congregation is growing and decreasing twice in this period. And we have our own culture and language and gifts, yeah, of the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Spirit. And we want to share and we want to get some Diocese of Virginia tradition and a lot of benefit. And then I will ask, you know, one of diocesan steps, a bilingual Korean person, we can share our tradition, our culture, our benefit, our gifts. And we also, we can use it, the benefit of Diocese of Virginia, the traditional and everything, you know. I ask you, you know, Diocese of Virginia can hire bilingual Korean person. Yeah, it is very good for us and for our diocese. Thank you.
Good point. Thank you, sir. Thank you. So, yes, ma'am.
I wonder how the diocesan community and structures might help those of us who serve parishes to resolve the tension between, on the one hand, the Great Commission to go out and make disciples of people who are not churched, and on the other hand, serve the people in our congregations who are paying our salaries and expect us to spend all our time with them?
Mm-hmm. Good question, Penny. Thank you. Good question. Yes, Fitz?
Just to mention that my rector informed me of, that I should have mentioned myself, that the men of Calvary have an interesting situation. We have a Hindu as a president and a Jew as a vice president. It works.
Good. Great. It works. Good. Glad to hear it. We'll go for what works. All right. We are close to turning a corner. So, you know, obviously your thinking can be shared in less public ways with the diocese. We have one hand over here. We'll honor that and then turn another corner. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say something about sacred space. And, of course, we all love the Cathedral of the Shrine, but I'm not sure that the answer is to build another cathedral. I think that the answer is to work together as the us and seek out sacred space within our diocese. Certainly, we have the new chaplain at Roslyn. We have Richmond Hill. We have large churches that, with very little effort, could probably, you know, function as sacred space where we could gather. And that maybe this is something we need to do as an us to develop these, you know, to identify and develop these places where things can happen.
Well, yeah, setting up and creating the environment in which we are aware that the Spirit of God moves and that we connect in particular ways is a very worthwhile ministry and mission. You know, it's like healing, you know, that a cast on something, you know, a cast doesn't heal a leg, it just sets up the optimum circumstances for God to heal the leg. And setting up the optimum circumstances for that, you know, for that spirit to flow in the community is a very wise thing to do. It's a good use of time and energy. We want to take a little break before lunch, so let's take a look at what we said. How can people like us use gifts like ours to serve interests like these? Create a conversation around political polarization, engaging diversity, is engaging across the lines of our diversity. One of the misnomers that we often do in the church is that we talk about diverse. You read a profile now, and you know, diverse community is almost one word. I mean, at St. Albans, we used to say we were diverse because we had two-door and four-door Volvos out front. But we would take lots of credit for that. But the fact is that, you know, I don't want to remind you, diversity is not the goal. I mean, if what you really want on Sunday morning is diversity, I would suggest Dulles Airport. There's more diversity there than we'll ever produce. If diversity were the goal, diversity is not the goal. Community is the goal. It's making community out of diversity. So it's not, we really haven't completed the sentence when we say diversity. You know, it's the issue for us is creating community out of diversity. That's what makes us different from Dulles Airport. Encouraging connection, in the week from Monday, connecting the Monday through Saturday experience with the Sunday experience. You know, and we talked earlier about the need for language that bridges all of that was in an earlier section. Share the goodness and joyfulness of God with community and the community in which we live. I would wonder how many people who don't worship, who don't know anything about faith, would assume that there is joy inside of our churches. I doubt that that's true. And then, you know, the fact is that the press, seeing the church, the Christian community through the press, is going to show people, you know, people like Terry Jones down in Florida who wants to burn the Koran. That's the kind of anger, you know, that gets connected. Notice how the word church is used in the press. It's basically blocking. It's a thing that prevents. You know, and that's almost the only way it's used. So this is not minor. You know, to communicate that. Then what we might do as a diocese, is this on one sheet, Anna? Yeah, it is. Okay. Oh, it's back there. Okay, great. Okay, what can we, our diocesan community or structures do to help? Well, the regional system is not helpful in terms of our friend over here, and I certainly don't have any insight into that. Making compatible community groups. Certainly that is a question worth raising. Are these compatible community groups? I've been in places where we didn't call them regions, but they were basically ecclesiastical zip codes. They didn't mean a thing, in terms of what people were. It was just where they were. And that's a good question. Do a better job of sharing information and resources. A good thing because the resources are rich. Redefine our priorities, diversity, prison ministry. Define the way we think about why the church looks a certain way. Why do we have this face? Why are we here? Another question, if you go back to where we started, why are we going down? If our numbers are going down because we're prophetic, then praise God. If the numbers are going down because we're inept, let's get on it. But that needs to be understood. Open up sacred spaces where God can show his work through us. That has enlivened a good bit of conversation here. Go where the people are. Tailgates offer ESL, English as a second language, a chapel on the green, all that sort of thing. But to be creative, move outside those walls. Just recognize that that's a base from which we operate. Celebrations, for example, the 50th wedding anniversaries and other things like that. Fredericksburg, this is a shocker. Fredericksburg is not the center of the Diocese of Virginia. We are more spread out, and if people from Fredericksburg want equal time, we'll give you that over lunch. They share the best practices, but seriously, it's talking about thinking, and the point there was that the diocese, is, I think, goes across too many categories of culture, that the suggestion was that Northern Virginia is one culture, central to the diocese is another, Southern in a diocese is another, and that's an issue that needs to be addressed structurally as well as in community, whether it's three dioceses or three hats or three colors of name tags or whatever. I don't know what you do about that, but there it is. And then share the best practices we raised earlier. Collect these at the Diocese of Virginia offices, that would be a higher expectation of priority of the function of the diocesan structures. Three-year vision, which incorporates churches, schools, etc., to serve as a way to unite the diocese. A uniting vision certainly is a powerful thing. Centralized spaces for worship and gathering, sacred space again, a recurring theme here, something that I think we want to take some time and pay attention to. Ecumenical relationships, partnerships, larger focus, absolutely the road that we're on, and one that our church is uniquely equipped and empowered and gifted to do. Hire bilingual Korean staff person, and I think that this serves the question of how not just Koreans, but how all of those who want to be incorporated in the life of the church, how that's done. I can't think that this is a Korean question. I think it's a community question, and that there are categories. Korean is one, I'm sure, and many others that want to be done there, and seek out, again, sacred spaces. I hope that we're paying attention to how often the question of sacred space comes up and gathering spaces and places like that. Not something we're going to solve before lunch, but I want to thank you all for your good. You all really worked hard today, so I thank you for that, and we have lunch at 12:30. Thank you all very much.